Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview.
Don't despair.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, we have a lot of great callers ready to talk to us. We've been taking a ton. 312-332-3776. Also, welcome to everyone in the Twitch channel. New way to consume the Waddle and Sylvie show and all the local shows on ESPN 1000. Visit us at twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. You can download the app as well. Our channel, again, is ESPN 1000 Chicago. You got the ESPN Chicago app, the radio, your at-home smart speaker, and now the new way with Twitch. I'll get to all the calls here in a minute. I'm now officially concerned, while they keep telling us that Robert Quinn is fine. Oh, no worries. It's a personal issue. Right. He's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. He's fine. The first Bears injury report is out, and Robert Quinn is on it. And he did not practice today. They list him with an ankle.
Mm.
The Khalil Mack is also on the injury report. And we were wondering last year, hey, is some of the downward situation with him and the lack of production due to injury? And remember, there'd be some fourth quarter drives where he'd have to get a breather.
Right.
He's on the injury report with a knee, but was limited. David Montgomery at least did limited practice with a groin injury. Cordarrelle Patterson limited with a knee. Jason Spriggs, Javon Wims, and Ifedi were all, or I should say Spriggs and Wims were limited, and Ifedi was full go with the triceps injury.
Okay.
But I want to get back to Quinn. They signed Quinn for big money. He's a professional pass rusher opposite Khalil Mack. He's barely practiced. They just told us, too, on the Zoom call, he's a veteran, he knows his way around, but yet we continue to see him not get on the field.
And now the injury is an ankle. And I've told you for a long time, you don't wish for any injury, but sometimes the ankle's worse than the knee. Just think about it. It's closer to the ground. Like, the knee's not great. But I always thought having an ankle injury was more, especially for somebody, like maybe not for an offensive lineman, but for a receiver, a pass rusher, maybe a running back. The ankle, boy, that can just be a crappy injury to deal with. But look, that's not good. And if Khalil Mack is on it as well, what was he listed as? Limited?
Limited.
I don't even know what the different designations are anymore.
Well, that means you didn't totally sit out, that you participated in some. What that is, some, it could be as little as your warm-up, and then you didn't really take part in anything. Or it could be most of this stuff, but certain parts you missed. And remember, there's no media in there now
right.
to just view any of this. Does he have a sore knee? I don't know. So...
Well, remember, too, you're going to go to a place to play on an artificial surface as well. And my guess is they've practiced some inside the Walter Payton Center, but they've been doing the majority of their work out on the grass, get out on the grass. So, I'm not going to panic, but it's, you know, that's not a great thing to hear.
Your two pass rushers are out,
right.
Or at least are dead. Now, Akeem Hicks is not on there. That's the good news, right? I mean,
right.
We've been worried about his quad. Yeah. And his name isn't even on the injury report.
That's good.
So,
but that's concerning. There's no doubt about that. Wasn't aware that was something. And remember, this isn't just a. I wouldn't think this is a walkthrough day. This to me is install day. It's the Wednesday of a Sunday game.
Right.
So Wednesday to us was I don't know how Matt does it, but. You know, you're installing a lot of your important stuff.
It's a big day, yeah. John in Rogers Park wants to talk Bears with Waddle and Sylvie. Hey, John, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, first off, I want to say huge congrats, Sylvie, for your treatment milestone.
Thank you. I appreciate you, John.
But I just kind of wanted to return to the Bears topic with regards to the quarterback. I mean, as a Bears fan, it's going into the season, all I can think of is And when are we going to tire of settling for this mediocre franchise? No Super Bowl contending team goes into the season questioning who the starter is and then questioning when that starter will be replaced. So what's going to happen now is we're going to be competitive in games because of our marquee defense, but with no hopes of legitimate playoff contention with our substandard offense. And everything we're hearing about Mitch's so-called next step sounds like it was ripped straight out of 2019. So what's happening? This is a 500 team at best. And when you look at the last 10 Super Bowl winners, outside of Foles, Flacco is probably the worst quarterback. And I'd rather have that Flacco on this team than Trubisky any day. And then with Bowles, we just saw Trubisky beat him in a so-called quarterback competition. So, like, what are we doing here? It's Super Bowl or nothing. And right now, we're settling for middle of the road.
Well, you just depressed the hell out of me.
Right, right.
But that's reality. That's why, I mean, listen, there's two sides to this conversation. And again, you can get to the point, Sylvie, about people, you know, just because you're being realistic about some of the limitations and the concerns, now everyone is questioning what kind of fan you are. Like, I can build you a bridge that they're going to not be as bad as the national media is saying, because I think their defense is going to be good, and there's no way they can be the 29th ranked offense this year. They just can't. They will be better than that. I'll be willing to bet you anything you want that they'll rank higher than 29th. But there's a limit to the upside for all the reasons the caller just mentioned and for the reasons that you talked about yesterday.
Yeah, like, and again, Yurko was bringing this up. We could sit here and we can depress ourselves and say we're no man's land with a quarterback and we're still looking for that guy. But as you point out, and Meller then countered Yurko with this, that there's a way to do it, that teams have done it with great defenses if the quarterback play can just be average, and if you could run the football, and if you could still hit some of the marks. Like when Meller's point was, with Peyton Manning, when Denver won it, he was not a difference-making quarterback.
No, he was in the sidecar. I mean, listen, but that's – we can sit here and pretend that Mitch is going to turn into Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes and they're going to win a Super Bowl based on the explosion of the offense. That's completely unrealistic. If you're going to go deep in the postseason, it's going to be because your defense leads the way and your offense is, you know, a pretty average group, because that's where their ceiling is. They're not going to do some of the things that the upper echelon offenses are going to do because they don't have the ability to do it.
The hope is that a year ago I saw them go 12-4 and they should have won at least that first playoff game. That's the
yes,
hope.
And again, that offense, statistically, in yards per game, they ranked 21st. They were higher in points per game. I think they averaged 28 points per game. But they got 42 points that season from their defense. That was 10% of their total points on the year. I think they scored 421 points in 2018, and 10% came from defensive touchdowns. So the truth is that your point total was enhanced greatly by the it wasn't just defensive touchdowns. Remember every short field that they gave the Bears?
Of course.
So,
it was fun.
Like, again, I mean, if you could be just if you could finish 16th, 17th, 18th in total yards and in offensive points, you're going to win. You're going to win more than you lose, for sure.
Daniel's been very patient. He's in the hometown of Abdallah and Black, Libertyville. Hey, Daniel.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
We're good.
Hey guys, I just wanted to talk about the White Sox real quick. And why do they continue to start Yasmani Grandal over James McCann? The guy cannot catch in the late inning baseball games. And I don't want to, you know, rip the guy on radio, but I just don't understand the two plays he made yesterday and the two passed balls I think James McCann makes. And the batting is not that much different. James McCann hits .335. I'm going to hang up and I'm going to let you guys talk about it. But to me, it just seems like James needs to be starting over Yasmani
right now. And you know, it's something we talked about last week with another Sox fan who brought that up. And we know what his worth is when he catches Giolito. But now he continues to show you that last year with the team wasn't a fluke. And, he's a starting catcher. But how are you going to sign him when you've committed to Grandal and you need other areas of help, especially with starting pitching?
No, it's a great point. I mean, Grandal we all thought was a fantastic signing in the offseason.
Last year, he was with Milwaukee last year, right?
Right. And the Dodgers
and had himself, you know, a 28 home run. I mean, listen, Grandal, the last 5 years, has been a 28, 24, 22, 27, 16 home run guy. Offensively, you know, he's gonna be on base. His career on base percentage is .350. I mean, even right now, his on base percentage is .370.
I mean, this is drastic. You just signed him in the offseason. Do you look for a trade partner and re-sign McCann? And McCann's your everyday catcher, and you try to get something for Grandal? I mean, I don't know.
Who's taking Grandal now? I mean,
Well, I mean,
no, I just mean because of obviously it would have to be in the offseason, but with you know, the financial direction of the league and question marks attached to that, I don't know. I don't know who's going to be in the buying mood.
Well, you're right. Have you read Steve Stone's Twitter in the last couple of days at all? He has been tweeting all about how this storm is going to hit baseball big time.
Which is interesting, and I agree. And that was like my biggest fear was, oh, my God, wait till. And baseball was the first, I think, remember when the owners and the players couldn't find common ground, and we kept saying, look, it's only going to get worse because the revenue is going to, you know, it's going to force these owners to want to play hardball. They're never going to get an extension to their collective bargaining agreement. I'm thinking the same thing's going to happen with all these different sports, especially the revenue-sharing sports, the NBA, the NFL. And then the NFL, as we talked about a little bit ago, all these enormous contract extensions that are being signed. Obviously, baseball is going to find themselves in a more, you know, a more constrictive environment.
All these front offices are cutting their front offices down.
Don't the Cubs allegedly are going to have to cut some people off the payroll, too?
Yes, it's very sad. Andy in New Lenox, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Andy?
What's going on, guys?
Bring it better today than you did yesterday with your conspiracy thought.
It wasn't even – I think I could have worded it a little bit better, but I think you missed it a little bit. So
tell Waddle. Let's hear what Waddle says, and then
all right, I'll just double
point.
Up. All right, so let me double up because I want to talk both. But so my conspiracy, Waddle, was – that I think that because David Montgomery is hurt and he's going to miss some time, I think that had something to do with the decision to play Mitch Trubisky as the starting quarterback, because you're already going to be starting behind the eight ball. You're going to have no run game with Tariq Cohen, so you're going to have most of the same issues you had last year. So why start the guy in Nick Foles already behind the eight ball, let him come out, and when you know, chances are your offense isn't going to be that great because you have no run game, if that makes sense.
Listen, I could buy this scenario that's kind of an offshoot of what you're saying. Like, let's say that they're not comfortable with Nick being comfortable with the new personnel and the new group, and it's just because there was no OTAs, there was no training camp, there was no preseason games, Nick just isn't, you know, he hasn't found his way yet with the group. Well, like, it's this. You look at the two opponents. Mitch has always played well against Detroit. The Giants aren't supposed to be very good, so maybe you can cruise through. Even if Mitch doesn't play well, you're still confident you can beat them with a less than great offense because those are two bad teams. That allows Nick to have a little bit more of an acclimation period with his new teammates. Listen, if you want to build a conspiracy theory, I think you can bark up that tree a little bit, but
no, I hate.
I'm not. I'm. I think. No, I'm just saying. I think what it does is it creates a buffer for them. It creates kind of an escape hatch for them. But look. If Nick came in and was the better quarterback and looked better than Mitch, he would have started.
Right. That's, no matter what the running back was. Bring your Bulls point. What's
that's
your Bulls
fair.
Point?
Sylvie was not having it. So my Bulls point. This get me fired up. So. All right, so the Bulls, they gotta go and get Billy Donovan. They have to, because we talk all the time about these guys getting developed, these young players getting developed. They don't get developed without having somebody as their head coach that they respect. I love Udoka. I love Darvin Ham. I think those guys will be successful coaches. I don't think those are the guys that are going to come into this Bulls locker room and demand respect from the players. Billy Donovan is that kind of guy. He can get these guys to buy into what they're doing, because at the end of the day, all these guys are NBA players. They're all good players, except for Felicio. They're all good players. So all you need is somebody that they can respect that's going to get that out of these guys, because without them buying in, none of those guys are going to get any better, unless you're just like a freak, like, you know, Durant or LeBron, where it's like, you know, you don't really need a coach and talent's going to take over. So we need to get Billy Donovan here to straighten some things out. I think that would be perfect for the Bulls. And then one last thing I'll leave you guys with, since we talk screwball whiskey.
Yeah.
Screwball whiskey, you can have a little bit of PB&J if you go with, I might be saying this wrong, but it's like Chambord. It's in that like round bottle or whatever.
Right.
Mix that with a little screwball whiskey. You got yourself a PB&J. So happy football eve, gentlemen. And I will be listening.
There you go. Andy's a mixologist. Thanks, Andy. How about that?
Well done, Andy. I thought Andy brought it nicely.
Very good. He's usually, that's what I said to him, he's one of my favorite callers. It was weak yesterday what he brought
really?
To the table. Yeah, I think
you
that's
just weren't
weak.
Buying in. You weren't buying any conspiracy theories.
Well, no, I buy conspiracy theories. I didn't buy that you wouldn't start your best quarterback because your starting running back isn't playing.
No, you're
playing.
Right. You would start your best quarterback because you would need him more.
Yes. Yeah. of course, because he's your best quarterback. 332-3776. Also, caller 9 will give away another spot here in the quarterback carousel competition on when Foles will start his first game. And there's even an option that maybe Foles won't start. Mitch is going to ride off into the sunset with a new contract at the end of the fourth year. 332-3776.
Like just about everything this year, we'll need to call a few audibles when it comes to the 2020 football season. But one thing's for certain, your local Jewel Osco is the go-to spot for game day and beyond. Whether you're gearing up for a backyard barbecue or cheering them on in the garage, Jewel Osco is everything you need for a top-tier party, including taco dip, locally made sausage, craft beer, brews, chicken wings, and other great things. Kick off the season with big-time savings and selection, all fresh to your family from Jewel Osco.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
All right, it's been a fun day talking to you, the fan, 312-332-3776. We continue to do that, whether it's about the Bears or we've had Sox calls today. We've had Bulls calls today with Billy Donovan. I've got a Cubs lineup for you right now.
Oh,
Waddle.
Yeah. Really?
Did you see, too, that Bauer and Darvish were...
friends.
They're friends, and they were tweeting each other today.
Yeah, good buddies.
Bauer looks up to Darvish.
Yeah.
Gives him a lot of credit, and he was tweeting to Darvish about helping him with his YouTube channel. Saying, can you get some of the followers from your YouTube channel to my YouTube channel? And Darvish said he'd be happy to. They're very cordial. I like it.
I think Bauer would be a great addition to your guys' rotation.
Now you're singing my tune. With what money are the Cubs coming?
Well, I know. Listen, I like him as a pitcher. You like him as a guy that entertains you. I think we can have the best of both worlds.
But. I'm happy with him when he's entertaining, when he's got a 1 ERA. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, again, that wears thin. He's very Jay-ish. I've always told you that. Trevor Bauer reminds me of Jay Cutler in baseball cleats. He doesn't give a crap what you think of him. He's opinionated, and he's a little bit quirky, but he's going to share it with you.
Yeah.
Here's the news from the Cubs lineup, though. Chris Bryant is not in the lineup
yet. Boy, he got hit right on the funny bone last night.
So he's out now. Oof. With that.
That hurt me watching.
Yeah, and it's colder
Ross
now.
Ross says it swole up yesterday.
Yeah.
It got swole.
They got all swole.
So you have Hap leading off in center. Contreras batting second. He's hot now, and he's been DHing. Rizzo bats third. Baez at short. Schwarber in left. Caratini will catch. Hayward is back, guys. That's great news.
Did they ever release a diagnosis of what he was suffering from?
Not that I saw. They did not, and they said he was available last night to pinch hit.
Good.
So now he's starting in right field. Bodie at third base, Vargas at second, and Darvish is pitching. And Darvish continues to be one of the front runners for the NL Cy Young Award.
Listen, with him on the bump, facing these
horrible Reds. All you got to do, I guarantee you, you score two runs, you win tonight. You know how you've been really down on
your
baseball team in years gone by?
Yeah, they don't score.
No, I'm not even talking about modern Cubs, but I remember going back several years where you hated your baseball team.
Oh, yeah, before Theo and everything.
Oh, hated them.
The 2010 Cubs, the 2011 Cubs.
Hating is, you know, hate's a strong word. This Reds team, I know you don't care, but I just need to purge myself of this. This Reds team, with all of the, oh, they're going to be so damn good this year. They've been the most disappointing, irritating team in my lifetime.
Really? They're your least favorite Reds team ever?
Yeah, I'm living in the moment, but close.
Because of expectations.
Just everything. Like, some dude last night, I mean, how many times can you watch a third strike? Like, I'm not here to give Alec Mills trouble. But that's not Bob Gibson, damn it. Trouble.
Yeah, I know.
So
he's had like a 5.5 ERA lately.
Why are you looking at a called third strike? Swing a bat.
Yeah, you're going to have to talk to your guys over there.
Ugh, okay, I'm done. I'm done.
Tim in Naperville was caller 9, so he'll get a week that Nick Foles is projected to start. And if that's correct, you'll win gift cards. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how's it going?
Are you a big Mitch fan? Are you a Mitch guy or are you a Foles guy?
I want week number 5. It's going to be Foles versus Brady.
Oh, so you think it's going to happen early?
Yeah.
Okay. That's his projection. What week does he get out of the cup?
I'm in the Foles cup. It's a big cup, too.
I was going to say, be careful in there.
Let me look on Twitch here how big of a cup that is. Is it like a big gulp cup?
No, it's one of the cups, the coffee cups. Waddle use it for coffee.
So is it a mug or a cup?
No, disposable. Disposable cup.
Okay.
All right, let me paint you a picture here, all right?
Oh, God.
Let me paint you a picture here, Tim.
All right.
They're like, the Bears lose to New Orleans, and they're like, okay, but we're probably going to lose to New Orleans anyway. Mitch didn't look horrible. They go to Tennessee, and Mitch can't even outplay Ryan Tannehill, and it is not pretty. And Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy get together, like, we're going to be on Monday Night Football. We can't trot this guy out there. We need a real winner against a divisional opponent. And so Nick Foles gets the nod on Monday Night Football, Week 10 against the Vikings.
All right, I'll take it.
All right, enjoy Week 10. There you go. And again, we've got gift cards to give away.
Quickly, I can paint you a scenario. If they change quarterbacks in Week 10, we're in trouble. Because that means Mitch has played just well enough to keep his job for the first 9 games. But now you need to, at that point, where are you at? Do you trust? If you get to the end of the 2020 season, do you trust Ryan Pace to wave goodbye to Mitch if he played the first 9 games? They'll come up with an excuse.
Oh, you mean if you're still more in the middle?
Yeah, they'll come up with an excuse.
I feel like we still have the money weeks are still in the cup. Like Week 5 is still in the cup. Like he mentioned, Week 6, where I think that he's going to start, is still in the cup, and 0 weeks is still in the cup.
You either want it to be really early, or like at the end of the season for a non, you know, for a reason other.
Well,
than
it could
him
be
playing.
Injury too, Waddle.
I mean,
if he starts the first 9 games, say he sprains an ankle, then Nick has to start Week 10. Like it may not be because of performance.
You're right, but I don't think that's the essence of this little competition. Isn't that the random quarterback?
Yeah, but a win is a win.
Right. I get it, but that's not the essence. That's not the message of this little game we're playing.
We're just playing a game. We don't have messages with our games. There are no messages.
You're awful.
There are no hidden meanings.
Yeah.
They're just fun games to give away gift cards to our wonderful fans. 312-332-3776. Waddle wants to know why Allen Robinson hasn't been paid.
Come on, pay that guy.
And will Matt Nagy allow Mitch to do something that maybe he didn't allow him to do last year? We'll cover those two topics next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie. And at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, I have a question for you about Mitch.
Right.
While we're on the topic of quarterbacks.
Just one? Just
a million.
One?
And then we'll get into the Allen Robinson conversation on why the Bears aren't like you would think he'd be amenable to signing a deal. He wants to be here. He's right in the prime, and we're hearing all these extensions. Dan Weider had to call me down 3 weeks ago, but we keep seeing these extensions. But here's my question about Mitch, and someone in the Twitch chat room has been asking this too, and I think it's a really good question. That's what I love about Twitch, because there's interaction not only with the listeners but with us. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Yes, Waddle wants you to behave too. But this is, I remember watching the Denver game. What game was Denver? Two? Was that week two last year?
Yeah, week two. It was early.
Week two. And a buddy came over and watched the game with me, and he said, why aren't they letting Mitch run? It seems like they're not letting him run. And remember that Nagy was talking about offense 2.0, where he wanted him to stay in the pocket longer and not jump the pocket quickly. And remember, we had Steve Young on the show, and Steve Young told us that Bill Walsh used to tie his legs together when he was in practice. Therefore, he would not be able to escape the pocket.
Well, I think, wasn't
that the exercise?
Something like that. But Bill Walsh always told him, listen, you're never going to be great until you learn to play from both in the pocket and out the pocket.
Well, but the story was that Steve Walsh said, like, he tied his legs together.
I don't remember word for word, but I'll buy you.
He said that because he didn't want him jumping the pocket. Here's my question now, and this is what was brought up in the Twitch room. Maybe now that Nagy recognizes that Mitch, and they haven't picked up his fifth year, and the long term for him maybe isn't what they thought it was going to be last year, where they think he can grow from in the pocket. And maybe all along this best attribute of running and making the passing as one of his best weapons, continuing to utilize that instead of looking at the bigger picture, saying, well, look, you're never going to win playing that way. You're going to have to take advantage of your best skill set now, because is there really a long-term situation with Mitch here?
So I'm asking you,
because of that, do you believe that they'll let Mitch run more?
I think they should, because I think it's one of the things he does best. Like, I don't... So you're saying is they'd be more willing to risk him and the hits that he's going to take because maybe you're not as married to him long term the way you would have been a year or so ago.
Right. Like if you're Lamar Jackson, you want Lamar Jackson, A, to stay healthy. B, you know he's going to be your quarterback for the next 10 years. You want him to grow within the pocket. You just want him maturing. With Mitch, you don't even know if he's going to be here next year. You don't even know if you can even make him a pocket passer. You just need to utilize his skill set this year, and if he gets hurt, be damned, you're going to get the most out of him doing what he does best
that's what we were critical of Matt about last year, isn't it? That he didn't put Mitch in a position to take advantage of what Mitch does best. And Mitch doesn't sit in the pocket, go through his progressions, and read defenses in an efficient manner. That's not what he does best.
Right.
So get him out on the edge where he's more comfortable, he's more confident, he can make plays with his feet, he can make plays with his arms. I hope you're right. I get what you're saying is like, listen, we're not going to make him a pocket quarterback. Right. We're not going to – he'll never turn into the pocket passer that Steve Walsh was when Steve Young was, when Bill Walsh was trying to make sure that not only was he a freelance – artist out there, but he was also a guy that could learn to play the position at an MVP level from inside the pocket. You're right. I don't think that there is a ton of confidence that he'll ever be a great pocket passer. So why not go ahead and use him in the way that you can, you know, most efficiently take advantage of what he does well. I think it's a great plan to get him on the edge. I think we were all screaming for it last year. Look, Lamar Jackson was the league MVP last year, and John Harbaugh still exposed him to a ton of – that's just the nature of how he plays the position. I mean, it's hard to get a clean shot on him because he's so elusive and such a great athlete. But, like, that's a risk you take with a quarterback who's got the gift that Lamar Jackson has. Mitch's gifts, I think, are more him being an improv quarterback than they are being a pure pocket passer. So, yeah, get out there on the edge and make something happen with your feet.
332-3776. Patrick in Cedar Lake wants to talk to you, Waddle, about the Allen Robinson topic. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? My whole theory on this, and I kind of want to be like Adam Picasso of Dali here. Let me paint you a picture. It's week okay. 6, October 18th, at about approximately 3:30 in the afternoon. The Bears have just lost 5 of their first 6 games, right? The trade deadline is October 29th. Allen Robinson's on an expiring contract. With all this virus stuff going on, teams don't really know. I know they're still signing players to big contracts, but he'd be a good pickup for a contender right before the deadline. I think that if they start as bad as we all really think they're going to, I think they just start cleaning house and they trade them. And I think it'll be a sign of things to come once the season wraps up. And I think they try to tank at that point if they start 1-5. I don't know what you guys think, but those are my thoughts.
I can't buy that. I'm trying to look. Allen's what, 26?
7.
Okay, 27. He's 27. Like, he's young. He's accomplished. He's a fantastic player. He's a good leader in the locker room. Is he ever going to be DeAndre Hopkins? No. Is he going to be Mike Thomas? No. But you don't have to be to sign a really nice contract and be a great piece to the puzzle. I think it would
be. But I see what he's saying, Waddle. What happens if the Bears do fall apart? And what happens if they then go through a Jacksonville rebuild? What's the point of having a high-priced wide receiver on your roster?
Well, like, why are you going to eliminate quality, talented players when you have a dearth of them? Like, so you could get another draft pick and whiff on it? I mean, like, you signed Allen. It was a good free agent signing, one of the best they've had.
Yeah.
He's performed for you. Why are you looking to get rid of arguably your most impactful offensive threat? Like, do you know how many, if they stink, do you know how many holes they're going to have to fill on the offensive side of the ball? Like, why would you want to give up a guy who is a proven commodity?
They gave up Alshon. He won a Super Bowl.
This guy's a better player than Alshon.
I know that, but
significantly better.
Gideon in Des Plaines. Gideon, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. So I want to translate what I think is being a better offense into what it really means. So last year, every time I was watching, I feel like we went 3-and-out. Just don't go 3-and-out as often, especially when you're starting from our side of the field. If we're starting from our side of the field, move it to the opposing team's side of the field. Get
cool
our kicker in field goal range, score a few field goals. If we score one touchdown on offense, 2 touchdowns, I'll take it. But score a few more field goals than we did last year. Don't go 3-and-out as often.
Listen, I love where you're setting the bar. It's at a spot where my dog can hop over it, which is fine by me. Just like be average.
Exactly.
Be average.
Print the t-shirts. What's better? Gideon's pick up a few first downs or Waddle's just be average?
Like, that'd be a great t-shirt. Hey, how about picking up a few first downs?
I'm down with that. Pick up a few first downs.
Get 10 yards. Yeah, Dan, thanks. We appreciate it.
Come on, guys. Field goals. Field goals. Field goals.
Listen, I get it.
Field goals. Let's go.
That's fine.
On.
You know what? I don't want to. This is what I don't want to do. I don't want to go like, all right, man, we're going to crank this thing up this year, and we're going to be like the Chiefs, and then all of a sudden, poop yourself, and then be like, oh man, we're not the Chiefs, we're the Bears, and I got poop all over me. You know, I don't want that.
Field goals.
So what I'm going to say to you is,
goals.
Let's just, if you jump from 29th to 18th, that is an enormous leap forward. Why would I ask them to be a top 10 offense when they're coming off of 2 years where they were 21st in yards per game and 29th in yards per game? And now all of a sudden they're going to be 7th or 8th?
All right, come up with your best catchphrase for the offense in 2020. Do you want be average? Do you want more field goals? Do you want less 3-and-outs? What is your pitch for the Bears offense to just set the bar a little bit lower? Come up with the best one right now, and we'll give you a week for the Nick Foles competition.
How about this? How about it's a T-shirt with a real tiny low fence that runs across the front of it, and you see like a little dog with little legs being able to hop over it because
like a corgi?
It's such a low. Yes,
a corgi?
It's such a low barrier to leap over.
And then what it says 2020 Bears offense on
yeah.
it? On the
yeah.
side of the dog, he's wearing a Bears
reasonable expectations. Make you keep your expectations reasonable.
Bears offensive catchphrases. You call the best one will get a week that Nick Foles takes over and you could win gift cards. 332-3776.
Stop overthrowing effing Allen Robinson.
Plus, we have Michael Wilbon coming up at 5.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So a lot of people have been thrown around just like average sayings for the offense. You know, try not to suck. Waddle wants be average. Gideon just called and said something like, less three and outs, just a few more first downs.
What did Black, what was Black chanting?
No, Gideon
goals?
Said he wants more field goals.
More so field goals.
More field goals. More field goals. Come on, let's go, Waddle.
Man,
come
you
on.
You guys are just feeding into the kicker propaganda with that.
There's football tomorrow. Let's go.
There's football tomorrow, yes.
There's real football tomorrow.
I've got my old shirt on that I never wore that says Mitchapalooza.
It's probably so old it's ripping your nipples off because it's one of those old shirts that's not so comfy.
It's soft. It says Mitchapalooza, Sundays, touchdowns, beer, Lakeshore Drive. And it's from
more
it's
beers from than touchdowns, obviously.
Yeah.
Crushing beers and watching Mitchie throw a football.
So now we want a good phrase here. And the one who called in with the best phrase will get a week in our contest of when Nick Foles takes over. So, all right, Abdallah, you've got the phones in there.
I do.
Light them up here.
All right, let's go with Brian and Darian on line 9. Brian and Darian.
Hey, boys, how you doing?
We're good.
Delightful.
I got a real simple one. The catchphrase is catch raised. Raise the number of catches and raise the yardage per catch, and we'll be good.
Not I can't print that on a t-shirt. Yeah.
Nope. Love you.
Sorry,
dearly,
Brian.
But I'm not
yeah,
that on
wow, that was a swing
Sorry,
and a miss.
I love
was,
you, but.
That was like a Sousa at bat right yeah, there, a big right. swing
like,
and a
who's
miss.
Who's that guy, Flegley or whatever his name is?
Josh Flegley.
Yeah, okay. That was.
Let's go to Clint in Lowell.
He didn't even look at a pitch. He just swung a
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Clint.
Four words. More points than punts.
That's not bad. That's
right,
better.
Sounds okay. That
More points
okay,
than punts.
Okay.
How about I said points, not punts.
That's good. We can workshop it.
We can workshop that.
I like
all right,
it.
All right.
Good
all
job,
right,
Clint.
All right.
Clint, isn't when your name?
Hey, how about this? You got a picture like of Nagy with the Denny's menu, like he's holding it up to his face and he's screaming out onto the field. I said points, not punts.
They can put that there and then hang it up in his room and we can look at it during draft day with all those BU posters up there. All right, who's next? That
all
was
right,
a good one from
Jeff
Clint.
And Streamwood will be quick because I think we've already heard this, but go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, my slogan is it's only got to be one, and that is try not to suck.
Yeah, that's it. The old Joe Maddon one does yeah, fit this Bears team. The and fits Mitch.
I wanted
and it
to
fits
be original,
everything.
Though.
Right, right. You're correct. We can't accept that.
Oh, here's this is a good one. Tim in Frankfurt. Tim in Frankfurt.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey, Timmy.
So for the to put on the shirt instead of you put BU. Put a line through you, and then put someone else.
Not bad. Be someone else.
Be Andy. Just cross out you and say, be Andy.
Big picture of the guy with the red jacket, mustache. I like that. That's good. Which one do you like better, Clint or that one? Give them both a number, right?
Well, I think, what's his face? Just the last guy we talked to just hung up. So
okay, all right.
Unless he wants to call
what's
back.
What's his face?
Good old what's his face. So we're going to go with Clint.
Give Clint a number here for the
Clint,
Nick
still
Foles
there?
Week.
Clint, line 10, Clint.
Clear.
Clint.
All here.
All right. Let me paint you a picture, as I've been doing. This is theater of the mind. So close your eyes, unless you're driving. Don't close your eyes then, okay? So
got it.
They beat Detroit, but you're like, I guess. It feels dirty. Then they beat New York, and you're like, okay, all right. They lose to Atlanta, and you're like, what the hell? how did you lose to Atlanta? And then the Colts just come in, and Phillip Rivers just puts on a clinic, and Mitch can't do anything, and they're like, we can't go out there like that against Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, who was in the building, and we let walk away. We can't have that kind of showing.
We're not having
so,
that.
So Nick Foles comes out Thursday Night Football prime time against the Bucks and leads the Bears to victory.
That's my scenario that I've painted.
Week
that
five
is my projection.
Against the Bucks.
Week five. Yes.
That's what my wife said too. Completely hammered on Oxy.
All right, Clint, thank you. Job well done.
Well, I didn't mean to make light of that. She was on Oxy. She just had her hip completely sawed off.
Right, out of context, and people were unaware of that. That right. was a great line.
Well, I didn't mean it that way. Just meant that she was.
Right, she's just not
she's
binging
still
on Oxy
under
cotton.
Anesthesia. I didn't
yeah,
think she
my
was
wife's
breathing
on Oxy.
Over there.
She just thinks Mitch will be in by week five.
I was just like, I was looking over at the window, and you know how like you breathe on a window and the glass fogs up? I was just making sure she was still with us.
That's not nice.
No, it's not being nice, but she was still out of it. I mean, again, she had her hip cut off. So,
right.
And she just, like, burped up week five.
Just like I do. I Mike like, in yeah. Hoffman Estates. Mikey, you're on ESPN 1000. Did we lose Mike?
Hey, by the way, you never gave me an explanation for why.
Okay, go ahead sorry. To Mike.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I heard you guys talking kind of about the Mitch thing, so I just kind of wanted to weigh in, like, the running situation with Mitch. I feel like 2 years ago he ran a little too much and kind of didn't go through his progressions. And then kind of last year it was like the opportunities that he did have to run, he didn't run at all, almost like he was coached to not really run.
Right.
And I think they really need to go, like, in between that, kind of incorporate him running within reading his progressions, going through his decision-makings. Too many times I feel like he ran too quick, or when he did sit in the pocket, he was just sitting in the pocket, you know, no plays, no progressions to read, and kind of just sitting too long. So, like, he was scared. So I feel like when he decides to run, he needs to decide to run after his progressions are not there. Or kind of have Nagy run some bootlegs where, guess what, if the first down's there right away, take off. None of this, like, in between and stuff like that. I don't think Mitch really needs plays designed for him to, you know, I don't think there needs to be too many speed options. He's not like a Lamar Jackson type guy. But I do feel like when he has the ability to run, he's very good at it. But I think he's kind of it goes into with his decision making is when he doesn't feel like he knows if he should run or not. You know, I feel like it's not there, and he's not very good at kind of running out of the pocket. But
that's
you know,
a point, Mike. Yeah.
You know what I'd like to see real quick? I'd
Thanks,
like
Mike.
To see their grade sheets on when Mitch runs the RPOs, whether or not he's making the right decision, because it looks like at times he makes the wrong decision, which then leads to the play collapsing. Maybe the play actually could be successful if the right decision's made by the quarterback.
That's right. We'll talk more about that. And also, is Billy Donovan the right fit for the Bulls? You know Wilbon's going to have an opinion on that. We'll be back in just 2 minutes, thanks to our friends at Legal Rideshare.